Today's shiur is Masech Tebei Daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the sixth wide line. We learned in the Mishnah, Vein Gorfin Tana V'Karayim, that on Yontif we're not allowed to clean out a furnace, a stove, from the ashes and coals that are in the oven. Says the Gemara Braisa, Tana Rav Chibar Yosef Kamed Rav Nachman, V'mi'ef Shal Efois, if it's impossible to bake in this oven, elm ken garfoy, unless it's cleaned out, mutter. Then it's permitted to clean out the oven. Says the Gemara, the visit of Rav Chia, the wife of Rav Chia, nofle aricha betanura, a brick fell into the oven on Yontif. Amle Rav Chia, Rav Chia told her, chazoy, see, danor rifta ma'aya sabina, I want to enjoy a good piece of bread. This brick being in the oven will interfere with the bread being baked well, and you could take this brick out before you bake. Similarly, Amalei Rava L'Shame, Rava told his Shamis, Tavli Bar Avza, roast from your goose, Vizdar Micharucha, and be careful, given that a goose is a delicate bird, be careful that it shouldn't get burnt, and therefore clean out the oven before it burns the goose where it may touch a coal. The Mefarshim explained that this brisa that says that we're allowed to clean out the oven is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that machshirei oichel nefesh that could not have been done on Erev Yontif may be done on Yontif. And they explain that these bricks, these coals that fell in on Yontif, and that's why they couldn't have been prevented on Yontif. So say most Rishonim. However, if this brick or these coals could have been cleaned out before Yontif, and they weren't cleaned out on Yontif, then they weren't cleaned out before Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda would agree you're not allowed to clean them out on Yontif. Although, there's an interesting Rambam. From the Rambam, it seems that the Rambam holds that even if they could have been cleaned out before Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda will hold that they could be cleaned out on Yontif. We've learned so many times that even Rabbi Yehuda, who's lenient regarding Mechshirei Echol Nefesh, holds that Mechshirei Echol Nefesh that we could have done before Yontif may not be done on Yontif. So the Magen Mishnah has a very nice way of explaining the Rambam. He says, yes, these coals, these ashes, are in the oven from before Yontif. But what happened, says the Magen Mishnah, is that this person thought, I could cook and bake with these ashes being there. They won't interfere with my cooking and baking. And what actually did happen is, then on Yontif, when he comes to cook and bake, he realizes that they are in the way. That's not considered, says the Magen Mishnah, Machshirei Echol Nefesh, that could have been taken care of before Yontif. Because this person legitimately didn't think he has to correct it until Yontif came. The Farshim also point out that the Gemara here quoted two stories where Rav Chia told his wife that she could clean out the oven, and Rava told his Shamas she could clean out the oven. What's the point of these stories? So Farshim say, from here we see how far we could take the cooler of this brisa. The bread could have gotten baked without cleaning out. It wouldn't have been so good. And who says you have to eat goose? Or maybe the goose could have gotten cooked. It just wouldn't have been as good. From here we see that when Chazal said that it's mutter, even to just have a special type of food or a better cooked type of food is already enough of a heter. When we look into Shulchan Aruch, we find a very interesting thing. Usually when we've been speaking this Masecht about different halachas, we say that in ancient times, this is the way it was required. Today, our cooking and baking is different. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in this Gemara, it's just the opposite. Our Gemara is discussing cleaning out the oven, and we're learning that it's only under certain circumstances that we could clean out the oven. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that was in those times. Because as we've learned, still in Masecht Shabbos, we learned that when they bake bread, for example, they put the bread on the wall of the oven. So the fact that there's ashes or coal on the floor of the oven is not that much of an issue, because I don't have the food directly on the floor of the oven. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that nowadays, when we cook or bake, we put the food that we're cooking directly on the floor of the oven. So if there's ashes or coals in the way, it interferes with the cooking and baking. And nowadays, we could clear away the ashes and coals easier than in ancient times. Tosfos already taught us a few blad ago that there's no issue of muksa, because if you're moving the muksa l'tzarich echel nefesh, it's mutter. What's the only issue? The issue is mechaba, that when I move these ashes and coals out, I'm extinguishing them. But the Shulchan Aruch says, l'tzarich echel nefesh, it's mutter. Which opens up a discussion under what circumstances is mechaba, is extinguishing a fire, mutter l'tzarich echel nefesh. The Magen Avraham says, let's say I have something on the fire, and the fire is too high. So I want to make it lower, so I should be able, that it, the food shouldn't burn. Is it permitted or not? So Magen Avraham says, it's not permitted. Put it on a different oven. Put it on a different fire that's smaller. But there's a very interesting machlokes apayskim. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm saying this lahalocha v'loy lemaisa. Most apayskim say, let's say I have something on the oven, and the flame under the pot is too high, so put it under a different flame, which is the right size. Says Rav Moshe, that's only required if you have another flame. That means if I have the pot on one flame, that flame is too high, and the next flame is the right size, so transfer the pot to the right size flame. But says Rav Moshe, let's say you don't have any other flame besides this one flame, and this flame is too high, says Rav Moshe, that you're allowed to lower the flame. Chazal did not require you to create a new flame. They only said if there's an existing flame that's the right size, you can't lower the flame. But if there's no existing flame the right size, you can lower the flame. A very bechidish for Rav Moshe. Amalei Ravina Lervashi. Amalan Rav Acham Hutzel. Rav Acham Hutzel reported to us, the Ma Shakon Le Tanur B'Yom Toiva. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos also discusses this, that when they wanted to cook something and they wanted to keep the heat insulated, they used to seal the pot with like a dough. So it says, it was reported to me that you prepared this dough to seal the pot on Yontif. Like the Pnei Yeshua explains, even Rabbi Yehuda, whose makel was Mechshirei Oichel Nefesh, he was saying, you have no right to do this, because this is Mechshirei Oichel Nefesh that could have been prepared for Yontif, and you have no right to make it on Yontif. Other Mefarshim explain that when he started kneading this earth together to make this seal, it looks like he's preparing cement to build on Yontif. Amalei, so he said, Anan Araksa de Prasim Chinam. I'm using the mud that's found by Pras, and that mud is already prepared, and there's no need for me to do any kneading. However, says the Gemara, according to Rashi's explanation, the Hani Milahu de Tsarima Esmael. Even though there's no consideration of kneading with a K, there is a concern of muksa. So he says, if he separated or he designated, so all the concerns are resolved. There is no muksa concern because he designated it. And there is no kneading concern because this doesn't need kneading. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, the Kitma Shari. So the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand Kitma. Rashi understands Kitma as some type of sand that even if you mix it with water, it doesn't really mix well. So again, there's no concern of lush because it's not kneadable. Tosfos says two different pshatim. One pshat Tosfos says is that this earth is a type of earth that's usable as a sealant even without adding water and mixing. So there's no concern of lush. Another pshat Tosfos says is that this sand is the type of sand that was prepared from Erev Yontif, and therefore there's no concern, because if you're prepared from before Yontif, there is no issue of Losh on Yontif. So the Mishnah taught us yesterday, Ve'emekif and Shtechavius. We're not allowed to put two barrels next to each other in order to put a fire between them and a pot over them to cook on. Omer Rav Nachman, Avon HaShabesekisei, the stones that they use to make a bathroom, you could take two stones and put them next to each other in Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, we just learned in our Mishnah, we just quoted it, Hey, Mekif and Shtei Chavius, we're not allowed to put two barrels next to each other, Lis versus Agadera, to put the pot over it. Why? Because it's binyan. You have two sides and a wall. So why is this permissible? Amalei Shani Hasam, we can't bring a proof from there to here, shouldn't have covered all of. By creating the situation when you have the two pots the two barrels in the pot, it's an oil. It's the Yontif. If somebody makes a bench where it is, lays on the floor, the loy of it ola, that there's no oil, are you going to say it's mutter? Regarding that shayla, binyan kva sutayra. The only thing that's considered boinim midaraisa is a binyan kva. Binyan arai, a temporary structure, loy asutayra. Midaraisa is not prohibited. However, because Rabban al binyan arai, Chazal said we shouldn't make a temporary structure, but shim binyan kva. Exer because of binyan kva. For hochob, and therefore, in this case, where somebody takes these two stones and then wants to sit on top of them, it's a binyan arai. So it should be usher to create that on Yontif, because Mishum Kvaidoi legos b'rabbonim. So Machlok is Rishayim, how to understand Mishum Kvaidoi. Some say it's Kovra Brias. A person should be able to use the bathroom properly. Chazal allowed us to make this temporary type of bathroom. Others say it's Kovra Yontif, that a person should not feel that because of Yontif, he cannot use the bathroom properly. And for the same reason, I saw the Shom Tzion and Malacha Paskins, that one, if he has on Yontif, a stuffed toilet, can use a plunger. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So now we've just learned that a binyan arai, some sort of a temporary binyan, is also to be made in Yontif. And that's why in our Mishnah we learned, we can't take two barrels and then put a pot over it, because that's a binyan arai, and it's also. Says the Gemara, Hai Medurta. So if somebody wants to create such a situation, what is permissible and what is prohibited? Mamala mamata shari, mamatala mamala asa. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that the way a structure is normally built is first you build the walls and then you build the ceiling. So if I go and I take the two barrels and then put the pad on top of it, so I'm creating a binyan, albeit a binyan arai, and that's asa on yontif. But if I do the opposite, I first take the pad on top and then bring the barrels on bottom, that's not the way people build structures, and given the fact that it's also a binyan arai, it's mutter. The same thing with an egg. So it's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand this halacha v'chein beyisa. Rashi explains v'chein beyisa that we have an egg put on a tripod, and then that tripod is put on top of a flame. Says Rashi, if you'll have the tripod and then put the egg on top of it, so that's binyan. You have the bottom is the structure, and then you have the top is the roof. Rashi points out that we're talking about a big egg, because if it's not a tefach, there's never any binyan. And that's why the Gemara, according to Rashi, says that you have to first take the egg and then bring the tripod, so you're doing the top and then the bottom, which we just explained is not the normal way of building, and then put that on top of the fire. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says a very fundamental rule in binyan. Tosfos says we could only have binyan when you have walls. So we have a tripod, just stands on three legs, and you put the egg on top of it, it's not binyan anyway, because you don't have walls around the bottom. That's why Tosfos says what the Gemara is referring to is a situation where I'm putting one egg on top of two eggs, and like that, roasting them over the fire. So now that's already you have walls. And the Gemara is saying is don't bring the two eggs on the bottom and the one egg on the top that should look like a triangle. Rather, first bring the egg on top, the two eggs on the bottom. V'chein kedera, and the same like a kedera, that's what we've been discussing, a pot between the two barrels. V'chein puria. This is regarding a bed. Again, we're talking about a portable, collapsible bed. And Rashi explains, the Gemara here, that again, if somebody's trying to create such a bed, says Rashi, first make the top and then the bottom, not the bottom and then the top. Again, Tosfos points out that if all we're constructing are just legs and then a top, so Tosfos says that's not binyan anyway, because legs aren't walls. You have to have walls. So if I'm creating a portable table with just legs and a top, according to Tosfos, there's no shayla at all. We're talking where the bottom has walls, there the Gemara says, first do the top and then do the sides. The Rashba also points out that the only time we have an issue of binyan is where I need the area under the roof. In other words, binyan means, what what is a house? A house is I need to be enclosed, and I want the area I'm closed with. Let's say somebody's creating a table, says the Rajba. But all he needs is the area on top of the table. He doesn't need to do anything under the table. Says the Rajba, there would never be an issue of binyan. The same as when you're putting barrels together. When we discuss halacha, a binyan, there are two interesting shailas based on this Gemara. The meaning of many shuls is that on Simchas Torah, by Kala Na'orim, by Chasan Torah, by Chasan Bereishis, a talus is spread out over the people standing around the bima. Why is that not called an oil arite? So according to Tosfos, it's not a shaila, because you have to have walls. Here we only have a top. We don't have sides. So according to Tosfos, it's certainly not a shaila. But even according to Rashi, the Tehillah of David says it's not a problem, because that's not being constructed to serve as a covering. It's just done with kavod ha'Torah. It's not really a covering, and that's why it's mutter. Some want to say this, even a chuppah could be constructed that way on Shabbos. Another shaila, which is an interesting shaila based on this Gemara, Chaznish points out, we know the Bria Halacha quotes the famous Noida Behuda, actually Noida Behuda discusses it twice, about opening umbrella on Shabbos Yontif, which he says it's Asr. Says Chaznish, based on this Gemara, why is it Asr? An umbrella, and certainly an umbrella that's open from before Shabbos Yontif, it's not an oil, because you only have the top, you don't have the sides. So according to Tosfos, that to be an oil, you have to have sides. Where do you have the sides? So the Chaznish says very clearly, the Noida Behuda was so adamant about not being allowed to carry an umbrella Shabbos Yontif, even one that's open from before. We have to follow what the Noida Behuda says. He says it could be that a roof that doesn't require sides. When is there a halacha that Tosfos says that you have to have sides? Only when to be a structure, a house without walls is not a house. But an umbrella accomplishes its purpose even without the sides. There, even Tosfos will agree that you don't have to have sides to be considered a binyan. The Chasam Sofer anyway discussed the Noida Behuda because there's another issue. It's a movable oil. And there's a Shailan Shas, if an oil Zaruk, if a movable oil is considered an oil. There's a Machloikas, one more Machloikas Rashi in Tosfos in ending this piece of Gemara. Rashi says that this entire discussion is only relevant according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a Dovah Shenem Skaven is Usr. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds a Dovah Shenem Skaven Mutter, so somebody who's creating this situation, he doesn't mean to be creating a structure, so it would be Mutter anyway. Tosfos disagrees, and it's a very fundamental word that Tosfos says. Tosfos, what does Dovah Shenem Skaven mean? Dovah Shenem Skaven means, says Tosfos, that I'm schlepping a chair on the floor, I don't intend to make a ditch, but a ditch is created. Says Rav Shimon, that's a Dovah Shenem Skaven Mutter. But if somebody is actually building a structure, even though he has no intention to make a binyan, you can't change the facts. And that's why, even though Rashi considers all of these cases according to Rav Shimon a Dovah Shenem Skaven, Tosfos says that this would not fall under the category of a Dovah Shenem Skaven. We learned in the Mishnah, Vein Samchim, as a kedera b'bakas, we're not allowed to support a pot with a piece of wood, the chayim b'delis, and the same by a door. So the Gemara learns in the Havamina that I'm not allowed to use a door to support a pot. Ask the Gemara b'delis al kedaitach, will somebody take a door to support a pot? Elaim v'chein b'delis. Just like you're not allowed to support a pot with a piece of wood, and we'll see in a moment why, so too you may not support a door with a piece of wood. Tanur Rabbanan. And the Bryce elaborates, ain't Samchas Gedera Bekas, we can't support a pot with a piece of wood, V'chein Adalas, and you can't support a door with a piece of wood, L'fish Le'nitnu Eitzim Ela Asoka. Wood can only be used for firewood, Rav Shimon Matar, Rav Shimon says you may use wood, even for any purpose. So the way the Rajba explains the Gemara is as follows. According to Rabbi Yehuda, wood is muksa. Just what? Chazal taught us that wood, if you're using it lahasaka for firewood, it remains muksa. Because if it doesn't remain muksa, says the Rajba, then it's not muksa, I could use it for whatever purpose I need. Says the Rajba, what the Gemara is teaching us is that wood, according to Rabbi Yehuda, remains muksa. Just Chazal gave us a special dispensation, l'tzorech yontif, that I could use wood for fuel. but for any other purpose, it remains muksa and I can't move it. Rav Shimon doesn't agree. Rav Shimon holds that it's not doesn't hold of muksa, and that's why wood could be used for anything. We also learned in the Mishnah, they mehigan is a behema b'makel. We're not allowed to direct an animal with a stick. B'yontif, Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon mata. Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon says you may. Ask the Gemara, lame Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon, kavus v'yirlei. Obviously, and this is what the Pnei Yeshua and the Toldos Yaakov explained the Gemara, that obviously Rav Lezer, Rav Shimon holds like his father, the less lay muksa, that doesn't hold of muksa, and that's why he holds, you could take a stick and use it for any purpose, not only for firewood, I could use it to lead an animal. Says the Pnei Yeshua, what's Peshat in the Gemara? Because we can learn Peshat in the Gemara is that Rav Shimon is agreeing with his father, that he doesn't agree with, he doesn't hold of muksa. But says the Toldos Yaakov, if that's Peshat in the Gemara, why did the Mishnah only choose to teach us Rav Elezer Rav Shimon agreeing with his father regarding muksa about the stick that you use to lead the animal? Why don't we teach it by many of the other halachas where Rav Shimon is makel? The fact that the Mishnah chose to pick this case about leading the animal with a stick, it must be that the Mishnah is teaching us something more than just Hilchas Muksa. What are they teaching us? The Harfila of Shimon Maidah. Rav Shimon holds that a stick may not be used to lead an animal on Yontif, even though there's no concern of Muksa. Why? When you take the stick and lead the animal, it looks like you're reading it to be sold. Chigna means the marketplace. The marketplace was formed in a circle. Chigna means a circle. So yes, there is no muksa consideration. But there is another consideration, marasayin, that it looks like you're doing mekachamemka. Therefore, if Shimon would hold that it's asur, and the Mishnah teaches us, Rav Lezer of Shimon holds that we're not concerned about the marasayin and its mutter. So it's nothing to do with Hilchas Muksa. Says the Gemara, Chizra, a piece of wood that's sharp and it can be used as a spid, as a spit. Rav Nachman, also Rav Nachman says it may not be moved on Yontif. Rav Shesha says it may be moved. Says the Gemara, Beretiva, if it's moist, kulam le pligi dasar, everybody agrees it can't be moved. Ki pligi be a veshtin. Machlaika says when it's dry. Like we learned before. The only thing you could do with wood, Rabbi Yehuda told us, is to use it for fuel. Here I'm not using it for fuel. I'm using it as a spit, and therefore it's asr. Oman the shari, amalach, mali litzus ba, mali litzus bekagach altoi. It's being used as fuel. It makes no difference if it's being used under the food, or it's being used in the food, and that's why it's mutter. Ikadamri, a different version of this machloikis, biyavesh the kulam le pliga de shari. If it's dry, everybody will agree it can be moved. Ki pligi, the machloikis is beritivasi when it's moist. Mandos, the lechaz lasaka. If it's moist, it can't be used as fuel. And Rabbi Yehuda taught us a moment ago, lo nitnu eitzim ela lasaka. The only thing I could do with wood on yontif is use it for fuel. Mandishar aloch, mandishar, the one that says it's mutter, ama hachazil hasagadl. Even though it's moist, so it can't be used as fuel by itself. But let's say I have a large fire. If I throw in this moist piece of wood, it wouldn't be a problem because the intense heat will allow it to be used as fuel. For Hilchasa, Yavesh the Shari, if it's dry, it can be used because it's considered being used La'asaka. Retivasa, but if it's moist, Asur, it may not be used. Says Rashi that this whole Gemara is only going according to Yehuda, where Yehuda subscribes to Muksa. So now the question is, where and when do we apply it? And the Gemara says we don't apply it by a dry piece of wood, we do apply it by a moist piece of wood. But according to Rav Shimon, says Rashi, that doesn't subscribe to Muksa, it wouldn't make a difference if it's moist or dry, it can be used. That's how Rashi says. Says Taisus, I disagree. Says Taisus that even Rav Shimon will agree that a moist piece of wood is Muksa. Why? Says Taisus that a moist piece of wood is like Greigers at Smukim. Rav Shimon, and we've been saying this so many times as we've been learning this Masechta, doesn't say there's no concept of Muksa. He has a more limited application of Muksa. So he says, so a moist piece of wood, a person is Matzadas. He removes it from his mind because he has no use for it on Yontif. And even Rav Shimon, says Taisus, will agree that a moist piece of wood is Muksa. Darish Rava. Says Ravi, Ish loy tikanas ladir eitzim, a woman may not enter the warehouse where they kept the wood, little bam ud, to take a piece of wood to use as a spit. Furthermore, vorchin nishbar, if one broke, also a sikh b'yantav, you can't use it as fuel. Why? Lefish a sikh b'kalim, we're only allowed to use something which was a keli on before Yontif, and remained a keli on Yontif, they masikim shiver kalim. And we explain this because Rabbi Yehuda holds that if something was a keli when Yontif began, it was designated for human use. If it broke in Yontif, it changed its use, and therefore it's muksa. The fish masikim kalim, they masikim shiver kalim. Says the Gemara, remember, according to this, Rava, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda surely holds like Rabbi Yehuda, this lay muksa. Asked the Gemara, Vomalei Rava l'shame. Rava told the Shamas, Tavalei bar avza, you could take a goose, roast it on Yontif, v'shodimei l'shunra, and take out its intestines and give it to the cats. The goose, when Yontif began, was muchen l'odom, was human food. The intestines now are separated, are only usable for dogs. And we've been saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, muchen la'odom, loy have a muchen la'klovim, and therefore it should be muksa. Says the Gemara, kiva the misrach im esmoil, da'at alavei. So the way Rashi and Tosfos explain this Gemara, this person knew that he's going to shecht the goose on Yontif. When you shecht the goose, you have its intestines. The intestines are not fit for human consumption. So the person from before Yontif already had das, was already mechin, already prepared that these intestines should be given to animals, and therefore it's not considered muksa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Rashi says that this Gemara is only going according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds a muksa. According to Rabbi Shimon, that doesn't subscribe to muksa, the ud that's taken out is not a problem, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to muksa. Again, disagrees Tosfos. And Tosfos has a different approach to the Gemara. Tosfos says, besides the consideration of when you take a piece of wood out of the warehouse on Yontif, the issue of muksa, which Rabbi Yehuda holds it's muksa, Rabbi Shimon holds it's not muksa, there's another consideration. This is the way the Mishnah Berurah explains. There's a consideration of tikkun mona. This was till the Yontif, a piece of wood, a plain piece of wood. Now I went and turned it into a spit. That means I made it into a keli. And the Mishnah Berurah is teaching us a very bichidish. We're used to understanding what's pshat making a keli when you physically do something to make it into a keli. Here we're learning you don't have to physically do anything. Mental designation is also considered creating something. So by my mental designation of making this into a spit, that's called tikkun mana. And therefore, even Rav Shimon, who doesn't have a concern of muksa, will still hold that it's asr because it's called tikkun mana. Says the Mishnah. Rav Elazar Omer, Neitel Adam Kisa Mishlofanov, a person could take a piece of wood that's in the yard in front of him, Lachz Bashinov, to use as a toothpick, or Makavim in a chotzer, he could collect pieces of wood from the chotzer, or Madlik, and use it as firewood, Shekom Asher B'chotzer Muchenhu. Everything that's found in the chotzer is not muksa. The Chom Omer, Makavim Mishlofanov, he could collect what's in front of him, or Madlik, and use it for firewood. So the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, there are two machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Elazar, any stick in the yard can be picked up, even though it says the word Mishlofonov, it doesn't mean strictly Ulfonov. Anything in the yard can be picked up. And furthermore, the stick can be used for a toothpick. And the Rabbanim disagree. Number one, they hold that you could only pick it up what's in front of you. And number two, you could only use it for firewood, not as a toothpick. Rashi's understanding of the Mishnah, the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, is regarding Hilchas Muksa. Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold a Muksa, and the Chachamim do hold a Muksa. But Tosfos says the machloket is a different machloket altogether. Why? And Tosfos has a very good reason for taking a different approach. He actually has two reasons. First of all, from the Gemara we'll see that that's not Pshat in the Mishnah. And another reason is that comes out the Chacham hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And we know that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, Tosfos says that the reason the Rabbanim say you're not allowed to pick up a piece of wood for a toothpick is because we're concerned that you may clip it to form it into a toothpick, and that's why, and that's tikkun mana, and that's why it's asr. Continues the Mishnah, Emetzin asar, we're not allowed to create fire, loimina eitzim, not from wood, loimina avonim, not from rubbing two stones together, loimina offer, not from the earth, v'loimina re'efim. Re'efim are tiles. We'll discuss more how fire was created from tiles. V'loimina mayim, meaning that you put water into a cup, and then you use that glass with the water in it as a lens. You have the sun shine on it, and you use that as a lens to create a fire. The aim lav re'efim, you're not allowed to heat up tiles, litzespan to roast on the hot tile. Am Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, oichle behema, animal food, aim b'mishim tikkun keli. If you take animal food and you form it, clip it, that's not called that you made a keli, and it's mutter to be done on yontif. Esri Rav Kahana Rav Yehuda, Esri Rav Kahana Rav Yehuda, it says in a braisa quoted in Masechta Shabbos, Metaltelin atzi b'samim, ulanim mu b'samim, l'riach behen, to use it to give off a fragrance, or l'henif b'am l'chayla, and wave it in front of a ill person. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not only in front of a sick person, it's even in front of a healthy person. He just says usually they needed to do this in front of sick people when it may be an unpleasant odor where they are. Umaylaloi, and we're allowed to rub it, umariach boy, to create a pleasant smell. Like we learned earlier in the Masechta, why is this permissible? Because really the smell is there already, the fragrance is there, I'm just exposing it. However, I'm not allowed to clip it, l'riach boy, for it to help get out the fragrance. V'm katmoy, if I do clip it, and my goal was to get the fragrance out, patav l'asur. It's asur m'drabonim. V'lachtis boy shinov, if I clip it to form it into a toothpick, lachtis boy shinov l'riach demeno, I'm not allowed to clip it for that purpose. And here the Brisa says, v'm katmoy, if I did it with that purpose, Chayef Chatas, it's considered I did a malacha. So now let's analyze what we just learned. Amalei Hashtam, Patav Alasuk Akashali, makes the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda makes the following statement. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda said that if I take wood, which is fit for animal food, and I clip it, it's perfectly fine. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if a braisa were quoted to me, I'm allowed to clip it for any purpose, says Rabbi Yehuda, top line of the Amid. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if I had a braisa that taught me that it's also to be done midrabanan, that itself would have been a big kasha. I'm saying that it's mutter, and the braisa says that it's asr. How much more so do we have a question when the braisa says that it's a chiv chattis, it's asr midraisa, and I said it's mutter. How could I work with this braisa? Answers the Gemara, El Kitanya Hi, the caution. The Braisa that says that you're not allowed to clip it to form it into a toothpick is referring to a hard piece of wood. There, Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree you're not allowed to clip it. Because where did Rabbi Yehuda say you're allowed to clip wood? Eichle behema, if it's usable as animal food. Animal food is only something that's soft. Something that's not soft is not usable as animal food, and therefore cannot be used. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that this braisa that we just quoted as a kasha to Rabbi Yehuda is talking about hard wood, how can we say that you could rub it to get the fragrance out? If it's hard, that wouldn't work. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the braisa is as follows. You're allowed to rub it to get the fragrance out. You're allowed to clip it. However, when is this all permissible? Barakin, when it's soft. So since it's soft, we go back to the top line of the Amid. So it's oichle behema. It's suitable as animal food. And since it's suitable as animal food, we could do whatever we want with it. Aval bakashin, if it's hard, you're not allowed to clip it. And vim kitmoy, and if you did clip it, for the purpose of giving off fragrance, potav alosa, it's osm drabonan. And if your purpose is lachsis by shinov, more loyik demena, you're certainly not going to clip it, and then kitme chayiv chattis. Says the Gemara, and this is the way we can reconcile two difficult contradictory braises. Panichad, in one brayso we learned, Kaitmai, we're allowed to clip it, Umarich boy, Vitani idach, Laitamena Larich boy, you're not allowed to clip it. Amrav Zeira, Amrav Chizda, according to what we just explained, Laikasha, Habarakin, soft wood may be clipped, because it's animal food, and you can do whatever you want with it. Habakashin, hard wood cannot be clipped under any circumstances. Maskelor of Akaba Yaakov asks Rav Akiva bar Yaakov, we are learning b'kashin that you're not allowed to clip it under any circumstances. Amai loy, why not? Mai shno, why is this different? Maharet nan, shoiva adam sachavis, a person could break open a barrel, lechem men a groigris, in order to take out the groigris, the figs that are inside the barrel, or even though by opening it up you're forming a door, you're making it into a usable keli, or vachalayasis kli, as long as you don't intend to make it into a keli. So here too, why is it usur to clip it if I'm not intending to make it into a toothpick? I'm only intending to use it for fragrance. We're furthermore asked the Gemara, v'adrava barav ada, v'ravim barav ada d'amr tavayu, kavina bay Rav Yehuda, we were by Rav Yehuda's home, have him a fashich, v'yavlan alusa alusa, he used to clip pieces of wood to be used as besamim, afagav, the chazia l'kade d'nagi, even though it was very hard wood, it was so hard that it could be used as the handle of a axe, or a saw, or hammer. We just said that if it's hard wood, we're never allowed to clip it. And Tosis wants to say that perhaps this is the reason, interesting Tosis, why Matzoi Shabbos Yontif, that means if Shabbos, if Yontif comes out on Sunday, we don't smell besamim. Because we're concerned that you may take hard wood and clip it. And according to the Gemara that we're learning till now, you're not allowed to clip hardwood. But says Tosfos, that's not the reason. The reason why we don't smell besamim on that day, says Tosfos, is because Yontif, there's a neshama yisera. So why do we smell besamim every Matzah Shabbos? Because the neshama yisera is going away. But here the neshama yisera is not going away, the neshama yisera remains. Ask Tosfos, if that's the case, so why a Matzah Yontif don't we smell besamim? If we have him in the Shami Yisera on Yontif. So Tosfos says, a few truths. One teretz Tosfos says, is that there is no Gehenim. The reason we smell besamim is a different reason, says Tosfos. We smell besamim because Gehenim, the people in Gehenim, go out of Gehenim on Shabbos. But on Matzah Shabbos, they go back to Gehenim, and that's why we smell besamim. But a Yontif Gehenim doesn't take a break, and that's why we don't smell besamim Matzah Yontif. Ask the Mefarshim, if so, that there is Gehenim on Yontif. There is no Gehenim on Shabbos. So they ask an interesting question. The minig is that we say Tzidkoscha Shabbos afternoon by Mincha. Why? Because Tzidkoscha refers to Tzidik Hadin, and since these neshamas, as Shabbos is coming to a close, are going back to Gehenim, we say Tzidkoscha. But the halach is that let's say Shabbos is Erev Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos is Erev Yontif, we don't say Tzidkoscha. If we're saying there's Gehenim on Yontif, and they are going back to Gehenim, so why don't we say Tzidkoscha, Shabbos Erev Yontif, Shabbos Erev Rosh Chodesh? So I saw an interesting teretz, that since we don't want to show publicly how much less Yontif is than Shabbos, that on Yontif there is Gehenim, on Shabbos there isn't, so we don't say Tzidkoscha not to embarrass Yontif. Another reason. What? We don't say B'Samim. We don't make B'Samim. Matzah Shabbos, Yontif, we don't. It's all the same. We don't want to embarrass. Another teretz why we don't take B'Samim, Matzah, Yontif is because there isn't such a strong Neshama Yisera on Yontif as on Shabbos. So therefore, the Neshama Yisera that leaves us on Shabbos, we have to say, we have to take besamim. Yontif, we don't have to take besamim because we don't have such a strong Neshama Yisera to lose. So Mefarshim explained I saw this in the Shel Satchuvus Betzela Chochma. It's not to say that there is no Neshama Yisera on Yontif. There certainly is a Neshama Yisera on Yontif. What's the proof? We say Nishmas on Yontif. The reason we say Nishmas on Yontif, on Shabbos, is because we have the Neshama Yisera. If there's no Neshama Yisera on Yontif, how can we say Nishmas? So it must be that there is a Neshama Yisera on Yontif. Another proof I saw in Halacha is that we know that on by Sheva Brachos, we have to have Panim Chadashos. You have to invite a guest that wasn't at the wedding. Shabbos, you don't have to invite Panim Chadashos. Why? Because the Neshama Yisera is the Panim Chadashos. What's the Halacha on Yontif? If you're making Sheva Brachos on Yontif, do you have to have Panim Chadashos or not? The Halacha is you don't have to. Why? Because on Yontif we also have a Neshama Yisera. That's the Panim Chadashos. But if there's no Neshama Yisera on Yontif, so we should have to have Panim Chadashos. We shouldn't be allowed to say Nishmas. It must be that there is a Neshama Yisera. It's just not on the same level as the Shabbos Digger Neshama Yisera. But the Kedushas Levi I saw says just the opposite. Chassidus Shatayra. He says just the opposite. He says the Kedushas Yisera, the Neshama Yisera of Yontif is stronger than the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos. Why? Because we've said this concept in this Masechta. Shabbos is Kaviyah V'kaima. Every seventh day is Shabbos. We don't make Shabbos. Shabbos comes by itself. Yontif depends on us. We learned early in the Masechta. Mekadesh Yisroel V'azmanim. We decide when Rosh Chodesh is, and based on our decision, it's Yontif. Something that we create, we could hold on to. So the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos, it comes on Shabbos, and it goes when Shabbos is gone. So we have to smell B'samim. The Neshama Yisera of Yontif, if we want and we try, we could hold on to. So we don't have to smell B'samim. Just hold on to the Neshama Yisera. The Rebbeinu B'chaya says a different reason why we smell B'samim Matzah Shabbos and we don't smell B'samim or Matzah Yontif. He says the reason for smelling B'samim is a whole different reason. He says we know from Avraham Avinu when he had the Mila, he had the Mila. And the third day, the pasuk says, "V'hi b'yoyim ashlishi b'yoyim kayavim." The third day is when somebody goes through an operation; it's the most difficult. So, Matzoy Shabbos is the third day from the creation of Adam Arishin, because he was created on Friday. Shabbos is day two, and Matzoy Shabbos Sunday is day three. So Matzoy Shabbos, when we have that yoyim ashlishi, we have to smell b'samim. Matzoy Yontif, that concept doesn't exist, so we don't have to smell b'samim. But going back to our sugya, just why are we not allowed to clip hard wood? Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Harav Elezer harabonin. If you are or not allowed to, it depends on the machlokes of Elezer rabonin. The Tanya. Elezer, I'm a neutral kais from Mishalfanov. A person could take a piece of wood that's in front of him, lachs by shinov to use as a toothpick. First glance, the chacham looked like they're much more machmer. They say, loy yitl el me'obisha bahema. You can only use the sticks that are in the animal saddle. The chamayim, the shoven, but they both agree. Shlo yik demeno. You're not allowed to clip it. Then kit malachz by shenof. If you used it, you clipped it to make it into a toothpick, or liftech by sedelos, or to use it as some sort of a key. B'shoigig b'shabes chayv chatas. If it's in Shabbos, you chayv chatas. B'meizah b'yontav soifik sabon. On yontav, you would get malchus. The Shittim Kubetzes points out why by Shabbos we talk about a shoigig. And by Yontif, do we talk about Mezid? So he says, normally when the Gemara refers to somebody doing an Aveira, it speaks about a Shaygig. But in Yontif, if somebody does a Malacha b'Shaygig, there is no Einish. There is no punishment. So we had no choice. If we want to give an example where there'll be a punishment, we have to talk about Yontif and Mezid. Divrei Reb Elezer. V'chamayim, echad zeh v'echad zeh, ein el mishum shvus. It's only the Rabbonim. So now we understand. If, according to the Rabbonim, forming a toothpick is only the Rabbanon, so then taking a piece of wood just for Besamim is Mutter. According to Rabbi Lezer, we're forming a toothpick is a Dairaisa, using it for Besamim is a Rabbanon. Says the Tzlach, now we can answer the kashas that we had on top of Amid. On top of Amid, we had steers between the Brises, contradictions between the Brises. Now we could say the Brisa that's Machmer is going according to Rabbi Lezer, the Brisa that's Mekel is going according to Rabbanon. Rebbe Lezer, to come out some chayiv chatas. Rebbe Lezer says, well, when you form it for toothpick, you chayiv chatas, hachapot avalosur. Rabbanon, the kamri hasam. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, that holds there, that it's isid Rabbanon, hacham mutal chatchila, will hold that since by making a toothpick, it's only the Rabbanon, you taking it for fragrance is mutal. Ask the Gemara, but we have still a kasha. V'les later b'leza hod etnan. Doesn't Rabbi Leza agree to what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos? Shoyver adam sechavas lechem and a groigris. You allow to open up a barrel to take out the food. Uvachli skaven lasas keli. As long as you don't intend to make it into a keli. So as long as you don't intend it to make into a keli, it's mutter. So here too, when you're clipping this wood, you're not intending to make it in. You're just intending to get fragrance. You're not intending to make it into a keli. Why is Rabbi Leza machmer? Answers the Gemara. Amar Ravashi kitanya hibe mustaki. We're talking over there a barrel that's put together. It was just glued together, and therefore a person doesn't intend to open up and make it a real full fledged opening, because the whole barrel is put together very flimsily, and nobody with such a barrel intends to make a keli. Tosfos has a different pshat in this Gemara. Tosfos says, nobody, we don't look at the type of barrel you have, we look at your intention. When somebody takes out something from a barrel, his intent is not to make a keli, his intent is to get to the food. And this has very serious halachic ramifications, because the shayla always is, are you allowed to open up a can, a bag, on Shabbos that you're going to reuse? The Pais can discuss it. The Chazon Ish is well known, was very machmer on this. Says the Chazon Ish. So say the Pais can. Certainly, what's the best thing to do? The best thing to do is to make a hole in the can before you open it up. So since you made a hole in the can, when you're going to open it up, it's no longer a keli. It has a hole in it. So let's say you want to open up a can of sardines. That's what all the Pais can discuss. Make a little hole in it. Once you make a hole, it's no longer usable, and therefore, there won't be any shiloh. Also, the Pais can say, if it's the kind of can that it's not going to be reused, a sardine can, most people don't reuse a sardine can. It's much easier of a shiloh, because you're not making it into a keli. You just empty out the contents, and you throw out the can. The shiloh comes up more on a bag or a can that's going to be reused. Let's say you open up a bag of sugar. So most people don't use up the sugar in one shot. They open it up, they take out some sugar, and now they're going to close the bag. There we have more of a shiloh if you're allowed to open that up in Yontif. I just want to say a word from Rabbi Chanan. Rashi explains in the last Rashi number, Mustaki, that who told him what this Mustaki means? Kach Amali Rav Shmuel HaMechona Chassid. HaMechona means that he's called a Chassid, that he has the nickname of a Chassid. Says Rabbi Chanan, what's the difference? He had a nickname. Says Rabbi Chanan, beautiful. Just like when you're not allowed to say bad about a person, says Rabbi Chanan, you also have to be careful when you say good about a person. If Rashi would say, Rav Shmuel HaChassid, says Rabbi Chanan. So if we'll encounter Rav Shmuel anywhere in Shas, or anywhere in Halacha, we'll say he's a great person. He's a Chassid. And we'll automatically accept what he says. Says Rashi, I'm not ready to offer testimony that Rav Shmuel is a chassid. I want you to know he's a mechuna. People call him a chassid. I don't have any independent knowledge, and don't assume that he's a chassid just because I quote him once in Rashi.